Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning from 8 to 8.30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing this morning?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Charles, the Aaron Rodgers situation, obviously still no trade completed between the Packers and the Jets. We saw Rodgers and his comments on the McAfee show a couple of weeks ago, Brian Gutekunst speaking earlier this week at the NFL owners' meetings. What's the latest on that situation that you've been able to glean, and what do you think the holdup is right now between the Packers and the Jets?
Well, you know, the holdup is basically you have the Jets want two seasons out of Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I think they've gotten into a zone where the draft compensation between the two sides, people are starting to get more comfortable with it. When I was at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, basically what I was told was there are two second-round picks on the table from the Jets. And it would be one in 2023, one in 2024. The one in 2024 could graduate to a first-round pick depending on how the Jets' 2023 season unfolded. And, you know, that would basically satisfy the Packers wanting to get at least a first-round pick out of Aaron Rodgers at this stage. But it was interesting. A wrinkle that developed was, you know, once they started talking compensation – Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show. This was after the Jets and the Packers had started talking compensation and a first-round pick had been on the table. And then Aaron Rodgers says the thing about, well, I was 90% retired when I went into this darkness retreat. Well, it caused some of the Jets to sit up in their seats and go, wait a minute, you were 90% retired when you went into this darkness retreat? Do we want to give up a first-round pick for this guy? Because this sounds like, you know, this might only be a one-year, you know, deal that we're doing. And it created a problem, basically. So you had the two sides that then the Jets are basically saying, look, we want them in 2024. We don't just want them in 2023. So if you get your first and second round pick, or maybe it's just two second round picks out of this, and then he retires, he hangs it up, we don't get him in 2024. We want something back from you then. Basically a give back in some form of probably draft compensation in the 2025 draft. Well, that's been a sticking point. So that's been the sort of fly in the ointment at this point, is the two sides wrangling over that. But I feel like so much is out there now that, especially when you talk to people the last 24, 48 hours, it feels like this is getting closer to being done. And remember, April 17th, the off-season workout program starts, and Aaron Rodgers wants to show up. He can show up. And I asked Matt LaFleur about that, and he's like, I'm staying out of the whole thing between these two general managers, and I'm just going to coach whoever's on the team. And, you know, I just don't think they want to even approach the awkwardness of, if Aaron Rodgers has his nose out of joint enough, would he actually show up for the workout program in April 17th when it's so clear that they don't want him to?
Speaking of quarterback awkwardness, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
What can be done here to help this guy?
I think he needs to stop talking to normal people. Like, I hate to say that, but like he keeps going on social media and interacting with normal people. And I'm not talking about just these, like, he'll put out tweets where he talks about his state of mind or whatever. If you click on the tweets and replies button, and you will see, he's delving into, I guess you could, what you could say at this point, considering he's going through a potential contract negotiation, sensitive stuff with Joe Schmo. Like, you know, it'd be like my brother, like, going at Lamar Jackson and then starting up a dialogue with my brother, who has no business talking to this quarterback who's trying to, you know, nail down a $200 million plus deal. But I think it's interesting because the latest thing now is he delved a little more deeply into this injury last season and basically just laying out how serious it really was, which is fine, except that, again, he's negging himself in this situation. If you keep telling people hey, I shut it down last year because my injury was really serious, and this is why I missed the remainder of the season in that playoff game. I'm like, okay, well, that's disincentivizing teams to give you the long-term contract that that you want, because they're sitting there looking and saying, well, it's two straight years of injuries. This is a depreciating asset in your game. And we're getting to that point where, you know, once you enter year six, seven, quarterbacks that run the way that he does, and this is going to happen with Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and all these other guys, it really starts to slide pretty dramatically sometimes in year six and beyond. Well, don't go on Twitter and start talking to, you know, like I said, Joe Schmo, telling him, hey, yeah, I was really injured last year. That's not going to get owners to sit there and go, yeah, let's give this guy this massive contract. And, oh, by the way, draft assets to the Baltimore Ravens at this stage to get this done. I feel like the more he talks, the further away this gets. And at this point, unless I think a team comes out of the draft and had quarterback plans and somehow they took a hard left turn and they absolutely did not get any kind of resolution at the quarterback position, then maybe that opens an outside market for him. But even then, I still think the contract compensation and the draft pick compensation has just pushed him further and further away from actually having any kind of a market. And that's what we're seeing right now. So to me, he probably sits out. I would guess he sits out this offseason, doesn't sign the tag until July. And then I'm surprised that Baltimore is not higher in the rankings when you talk about the betting right now in terms of his next team, because I don't know that there's really an easy path outside of the franchise right now for him.
Charles, we talked to you about, you know, kind of looking ahead to the NFL owners meetings, and one thing you brought up was Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots and some of the comments that he made last year. Well, this year he talked about how disappointed he was in this season. Obviously, a lot of conversation around Mac Jones right now. What do you make of the Patriots situation, how Belichick fits into all this, and the Belichick-Robert Kraft dynamic?
Well, it's interesting, and Dan Wetzel, our national columnist, kind of wrote on this. You've now seen more of an embrace in the last 12 months by Bill Belichick to look backward at success, you know, and, you know, he made this comment, I'm paraphrasing here, where someone asked him, you know, why should fans be, you know, confident about the direction of the team? And Bill said something like, you know, the last 25 years. And it's interesting to hear him say that, because that's not when you, I'll give you an example. When you sit down and you talk to a player and you say, well, hey man, you know, things, we're looking at your deal here. You're slated to make X amount. Why should we be confident that, you know, you're going to be worth that? Your last couple of years have been pretty bad. And the player goes, well, what about my first 5 years? That's not exactly how general managers, and especially Bill Belichick, tends to operate. Go, hey, you know, you got a good point. Those first 5 years, really, even though you've slid backwards the last couple of years, you're still worth this out. No, that's not at all how it works. And yet, that's kind of how he is starting to talk, which is unusual. And I think now I said that stuff about Kraft. Well, he doubled down on it. He came out again, and he, you know, again, paraphrasing here, but he basically said, we're about winning. And, yeah, I have some concern about what's going on right now because of, you know, what's happened the last few seasons, and Mac Jones obviously getting derailed last year. So I don't, you know, you sit there and you look at it, and it's hard to really truly believe Bill Belichick would be on the hot seat in 2023. I still don't think that's a reality. However, I think if 2023, Bill O'Brien comes in an offensive coordinator, if 2023 looks like 2022, which was a disaster for Mac Jones, then I think going into 2024, now I think you're starting to look at a situation where it's like, okay, Robert Kraft is probably going to measure the future of Bill Belichick in 2024, because you can only have so many seasons where at some point you start to realistically question how much stuff was Tom Brady covering up, and if it wasn't that, maybe Bill just starting to lose it. Maybe he just doesn't have his fastball anymore as a head coach. I know people are going to say that's crazy, but you know what? Tom Landry was a great coach until he wasn't. And Bill Belichick is getting deeper into his 70s, and there may just be a reality that the rest of the league caught up to some of the things the Patriots were doing to get a little edge. and they haven't been able to, you know, find a quarterback who can cover up for some of those weak spots. And yeah, I think this is real. I think this pressure on Bill, 2023 is going to be a really, really important season.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Joe Rex Road, the floor is yours. Take it away.
Yeah, Charles, I wanted to get into something we've been talking about earlier in the show. Went to Ohio State's Pro Day, kind of, you know, trying to track Rand Carthon and got into some stuff about, you know, player evaluation. And one thing certainly the Titans are changing is more reliance on analytics, and of course that can mean a lot of different things, but first of all, just your view of, I guess, the Titans relative to the rest of the league when it comes to analytics. And again, that's in game is one thing, and you know, and then there's player evaluation. I hear you laughing, so I'm looking forward to this answer, but also, do you feel like it's changing dramatically?
Well, geez, they haven't had a reputation when it's come to analytics at all, have they?
They have not. Not much. I mean,
there haven't been any negative things said about the Titans right. The last couple of years. I mean, it's unfortunately every time you would see kind of the anytime someone would roll out sort of a chart and go, okay, let's kind of look where how we measure the league and where teams are when it comes to analytics. Yeah, the Titans have historically typically been on the low side. And it was funny because I was at the, when I was in Phoenix, I was talking to an exec and we were talking a little bit about analytics and just how much it's changed. And he actually said to me, he goes, you know, I remember 10 years ago, we had one analytics person in the building. They're basically in, you know, he's being facetious here, but like in a broom closet and, you know, you'd rarely hear them speak. He's like, now we have, you know, half a dozen that actually have a platform. And I was like, what do you mean have a platform? He's like, well, when we go through the draft, there's a part of the in-room meeting where we turn to the analytics crew and they delve into all the information that they have that they're bringing to the table and some of their algorithms, their IP, which is intellectual property. That's a big deal in analytics in the NFL right now, is whether or not you can be in analytics, but do you have IP? Are you creating algorithms that work, that are yours, that you own, that you can carry around with you if you change jobs? And it was just funny because we had one person to be like 10 years ago, and I hate to bang on the Titans here, but that was sort of the rap the last few years on the Titans, was that they were still one of these teams that maybe kind of only had like one person in the building who was really truly devoted 100% of the time to analytics. Obviously, that's something that's starting to change. It's become more of a storyline with Rand Carthon coming in, obviously the hire of Chad Brinker, who is one of those IP guys that you hear about, somebody who creates their own algorithms as it pertains to, you know, not only free agency, but the draft. You tie in how contracts work, all these different things. I think so you have this avenue where you're seeing the Titans are starting to attack it the way maybe some other organizations do. So look, that's obviously a good thing. We'll see how that works itself out, but I'm telling you, it's interesting to kind of see where analytics is going in the NFL, because you have, you know, Thomas Dimitroff was the GM for the Falcons for a long time. Obviously before that was with the Patriots, the Browns. This is somebody who now works for, it's like this startup called Sumer Sports, and you had a hedge fund manager, Paul Tudor Jones, started up this sports company that's 100% steeped in building an analytics model, an algorithm that they can then sell to teams. That's the IP aspect. They will own it, but they will sell it to teams so that teams can make better decisions in free agency, the draft, and basically figure out how to build the best team based on this algorithm. So for the past couple of years, they're pouring millions and millions of dollars into developing this algorithm, and it's all coming out of you know, this billionaire hedge fund manager who says, hey, this is how we do portfolios. This is how we add stuff to hedge funds, is we have these algorithms that tell us, you know, how we should be investing and how we can balance it all out. We should be able to do that in the sports world. And I think a lot of teams are starting to buy into that. And I think Chad Brinker's, that's one of those guys that when you hear people talk about him, it's about what he's creating on his own, and he owns and then carries with him, which is what he was brought to the Titans.
Charles, we talked about this earlier. As we know, it's mock draft season out there, which is one of our favorite times of the year. But Will Levis, you know, is sliding in a lot of these mock drafts. We saw, you know, a comment yesterday out there in the NFL space that maybe the interviews aren't going very well for Will Levis at this point. Right. What have you heard on the Will Levis front and the quarterback front in general in terms of where exactly he fits in right now?
It's a good question because I think it – I always I don't know how much I believe whether he's slipping or not. You know, I don't – there's – anytime you have a group of quarterbacks, there's always the slide guy. And sometimes it's real. For example, years ago, I remember Josh Rosen was the guy that when it was, what was that class? Mayfield, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, I'm leaving. Oh, Sam Darnold, right? That foursome. It was like, okay, well, how is that foursome? And then Lamar Jackson was kind of bringing up the sort of tail end of that group. And it was like, how is this all going to flush itself out? And Rosen, through the process, you heard, man, his interviews aren't great. He's kind of a quirky guy, has this sort of standoffish tone to him that teams don't like. Is it possible that he's not going to end up being this, you know, top five pick that it felt like he was going to be throughout his career at UCLA? Well, yeah, he slid. He slid to 10. And then that actually turned out to be a real thing.
He was bad.
He was bad, and he was out of the league very quickly. Like, it was what teams were picking up on. It turned out to be a reality. I don't know if Levis – here's what I can tell you about Levis. When you talk to teams, unquestionably they love his skill set, the arm. I mean, I don't think there's – I think most everybody agrees that he has the best arm in the draft. But I think ultimately they're like, look, there is a decision-making aspect of this that we can't get away from. And it's not like we're looking at film and he's playing with a team that's completely devoid of NFL talent. There's some other talent there that ultimately will end up playing in the NFL. But he's definitely playing against a lot of NFL talent, and he's making bad decisions pretty consistently that, you know, weighed on Kentucky over the course of the last couple of years. That, you know, teams aren't going to like that. I can't speak to how real the interviews, you know, how I'll give you a good example. Kayvon Thibodeau last year, teams were murdering him in interviews. They were just like, his interviews are terrible. He's coming off as just not serious about this or, you know, I had one team say like, he basically grabbed a snack on the way out of the room without asking.
It's like George Costanza. I'll take that. Thank you.
But they really were like, it was one of those things where it just caught, it kind of hit some people the wrong way. Like, he was walking out, walking past the table, grabbed some snacks on his way out the door, and they're kind of like, huh, okay, well, is that entitlement? And I'm just like, man, you know, wow, we're really getting deep into the, like, I'm like, look, the snacks are there.
I mean, if there's some mayo to put in my coffee, I'm going to grab the mayo and put it in my coffee.
I mean, it's just, you know, and then you see him play this past season, you're like, it's probably overblown. Like, I don't think I would have cared about the bag of chips the guy grabbed when he's walking out the door. But it does. It matters, I think, how some people really process the way you are in those interviews. He's not the only one, by the way. Jalen Carter. For Jalen Carter's interviews haven't been great, honestly. And again, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, is this someone trying to float out negative info because they feel like there's a chance Carter might be slipping a little bit? They want to add to that momentum and maybe, you know, they get a shot at him further on down in the, you know, top 10 or maybe outside of the top 10. They'd really love to have him get to them. Or is this real? You know, are they really going through the process with him and feeling like he's not being fulsome in his replies when it comes to, you know, the problems that he's had over the last, you know, couple months. But I think a lot of this stuff, you know, we get into the nitpicking of players, particularly quarterbacks, and everybody's going to have a different take on. I'll never forget, somebody killed Justin Herbert to me. Like, just was like, went up and down about how Justin Herbert wasn't going to be a great quarterback. And then we got 3 games into Justin Herbert's rookie year, and the guy literally called me and was like, I was wrong. I blew it. Completely blew that assessment.
At least he admitted it. Yeah. Man, there's some real.
Yeah, he did. That was the shocking part, is that never happens, but it was so obvious after like the first 3 games that he was so embarrassed, and he knew. He literally sat and just killed Justin Herbert for, you know, probably like a half an hour one time we had lunch.
He took the cashews.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't, he wasn't kind to the waiter. So
man, yeah, it's amazing the nitpicking that goes on. Anything, speaking of nitpicking, Charles, anything this week in the rules changes front that especially bothers you or that you think is especially good?
No, I don't, you know, there was nothing that I thought. It kind of fell the way that it did. I knew that some of the stuff, particularly as it pertains to, you know, the replays on, you know, some of the personal foul stuff. Teams don't want to get into the habit of basically replaying the entire game. Like, we're just going to let, you know, we're going to let replay decide every important aspect of the game now, and that's how we're going to do NFL games. So it doesn't surprise me that that didn't have the traction that maybe some thought it would. It's funny, the single there, the zero, the whole, you know, we're going to let players wear zero rule, I thought was kind of funny, because you talk to personnel guys, they, especially the old school ones, kind of grumble about how numbers work now in the NFL, because they're like, you know, they want the good old days of like the wideouts wore 80s, like the offensive linemen were 70s and 60s, the linebackers were in the 50s, because, you know, they're like, it just makes it a pain when you're like assessing, you're sitting there and you're trying to do your work, and it's just this whole other layer of like, now you have, you know, like, when are we going to have like a single digit offensive lineman? It's going to be like a tackle is going to wear zero and say, I'm wearing zero because that's the number of sacks I give up every year.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So it's, that always makes me laugh when you kind of hear the inside baseball of like why some people in the NFL don't like the numbers thing changing. So.
Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30 here on the program. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including an interesting tweet from Adam Sparks. We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, The Game. It is your last chance to sign up and play the official four-team game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. You can enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. Once again, that's 866-GET-LAND. You can go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app and pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April the 15th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. We talked about this earlier, Joe, but pro day for Florida today. So obviously lots of eyes going to be on Anthony Richardson today. Rand Carthon going to be down there, according to Justin Schultz, and pro day also for the Tennessee Volunteers today. And according to Adam Sparks, he tweeted out a video, says, I noticed that NFL scouts in town for pro day arrived early to see Joe Milton in practice. This from Adam Sparks just a few minutes ago on Twitter. So some scouts in town for pro day getting to Tennessee practice just a little bit early to watch Joe Milton sling the ball around out there on the practice field.
QB1. Caleb Williams, step aside, my friend. There's a new sheriff in town.
I will say, like, Joe Milton, when I think about pro day, whenever Tennessee's pro day is next year, like, Joe Milton is the type of guy that seems like, Oh, my God. Like, if you talk about impressive pro days. Like, Joe Milton seems like the one that could really just blow people out of the water with his pro day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, just slinging it everywhere. Like, he just threw the ball 83 yards on a rope right over the shoulder. How about that?
They might have, like, they might have him throw a receiver. Like, he can play, like, throw a receiver 50 yards.
You Squirrel, know? Come here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's going to, yeah.
I cannot wait for this football season for no other reason than just talking about Joe Milton. It's going to be – I don't know how it's going to go. I know it's going to be entertaining as heck, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Listen, at this point right now, I could see Joe Milton a year from now being a lock first rounder. I really could. And I could also see Joe Milton a year from now being like, maybe he's like a third day guy. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, seriously. It's
like
a big range.
I really believe the range is that wide. And if he can basically improve on the Orange Bowl and kind of harness that and take that forward and, you know, obviously win this year, I think someone's going to be enamored with him.
I found that tweet from Sparks hilarious. The scouts are out, baby. Looking to Joe Milton. So we'll see how that part of it goes. Shout out to, got a text on the text line. You know, Charles Robinson talked about an offensive lineman maybe one day wearing zero to symbolize the number of sacks they've given up. Somebody said, so does that mean Dennis Daly will wear number 25 for the number of sacks that he gave up? Dennis Daly, the jokes are going to continue to be there.
Yeah, as he goes out and just dominates
for
Monty Ossenfort and the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, just beautiful stuff there on that front. The it was interesting to get Charles's thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Like, the compensation – I mean, obviously, I knew when he went on McAfee that probably both sides of it didn't like it all that much. Like, the Packers from the standpoint of, okay, so Aaron Rodgers is out here just airing out all of his dirty laundry on the Pat McAfee show – which I think that they've grown increasingly tired of over the last couple of years. And then from the Jets' point of view, it's like that the point that Charles brings up, like, really? You are 90% retired. Well, what in the world does that mean about what your thought process is going to be like after next year? And now here we are, just gridlock, and nothing's getting done between the Packers and the Jets to this point.
Yeah. First of all, I would hope that a lot of the conversation in that room with the Jets would be like, yeah, he says a lot of crap. I mean, just,
yeah,
you know, I mean, just sure. Sure you were, Aaron. I mean, 'cause I don't buy that at all.
No.
I don't buy that for 1 minute.
Look, people can downplay, and he's downplayed it, and I don't care what he says. People can downplay the sharing the stage with Tom Brady Hall of Fame stuff all they want to. I'm just telling you, to act like that's not a consideration with him, I think is ludicrous. With the way that guy operates, it's absolutely a thing. I don't care what he says.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, like, I don't. May not be like top of list,
no.
But I have no doubt that's crossed his mind, and he would rather not be in the same year. No, he won't be.
Yeah.
I think. I guess.
I guess not. We'll see. Jake in Greenbrier on the text line says, I still think it's wide open after Caleb Williams and Drake May. Joe Milton could be a top 10 pick next year. This is from Jake in Greenbrier on the text line.
He honestly could.
He could.
And I mean, it's we laugh and joke and all that.
He also may not be the starting quarterback by week four.
Exactly. Yeah. Although I
feel like he's probably going to.
I feel like there's going to be enough separation that it would have to. It would require some serious malfunctioning, which, I mean, that could happen too.
Well, also look at the first part of their schedule. Like, they ought to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, the receiving core looks good. You know, we're talking about today. They're all going to be watching Darnell Wright. Like, they are up front. I do worry a little bit about the Vols next year. I mean, I think that was an underrated aspect of their season is that they had a really good offensive line. But yeah, I mean, I don't think UVA is going to come in here and be a problem.
I don't think so
for Big Joe Milton.
I mean,
sorry, Johnny G.
John Glennon's getting out there.
Yeah, he'll be out there with his shirt and tie. I mean,
the other part that they got three good backs. Which is going to be really interesting to watch too next year.
Yeah, I mean, if they find the answers up front, then their offense could be ridiculous. But and it's him too. I mean, he was good in the Orange Bowl, but it wasn't Hendon Hooker.
No,
it wasn't Hendon Hooker level of execution and consistency. You know, can he get close to that?
He throws a pretty deep ball though. It's fun to watch.
Oh, hey man,
never seen anything like it.
I'll never forget
I'll never forget being in the stands at Neyland in that Missouri game, and he got in there and he unleashed that one to Squirrel White, and I was like, that ball is sure hanging up there a long time. I mean, it's going far. Look at that thing. Then it finally came down. Just beautiful. It's mesmerizing.
It's majestic. Yeah.
It really is. 615-737-1025. It is that time of the day. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score, you will win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We will do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. It is your last chance to sign up and play the official four-team game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. You can enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. Once again, that's 866-GET-LAND. You can go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app and pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April the 15th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. We talked about this earlier, Joe, but pro day for Florida today. So obviously lots of eyes going to be on Anthony Richardson today. Rand Carthon going to be down there, according to Justin Schultz. And pro day also for the Tennessee Volunteers today. And according to Adam Sparks, he tweeted out a video, says, I noticed that NFL scouts in town for pro day arrived early to see Joe Milton in practice. This from Adam Sparks just a few minutes ago on Twitter. So some scouts in town for pro day getting to Tennessee practice just a little bit early to watch Joe Milton sling the ball around out there on the practice field.
QB1, Caleb Williams, step aside, my friend. There's a new sheriff in town.
I will say, like Joe Milton, when I think about pro day, whenever Tennessee's pro day is next year, like Joe Milton is the type of guy that seems like, oh my God, like if you talk about impressive pro days, like Joe Milton seems like the one that could really just blow people out of the water with his pro day.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, just slinging it everywhere. Like he just threw the ball 83 yards on a rope right over the shoulder. How about that?
They might have him throw a receiver. Like he can play like throw a receiver 50 yes. yards.
You Squirrel, know? Come here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's going to
I cannot wait for this football season, for no other reason than just talking about Joe Milton. It's going to be – I don't know how it's going to go. I know it's going to be entertaining as heck, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Listen, at this point right now, I could see Joe Milton a year from now being a lock first-rounder. I really could. And I could also see Joe Milton a year from now being like maybe he's like a third-day guy. I mean, seriously. Yeah,
seriously. It's a big range.
I really believe the range – is that wide. And if he can basically improve on the Orange Bowl and kind of harness that and take that forward and, you know, obviously win this year, I think someone's going to be enamored with him.
I found that tweet from Sparks hilarious. The scouts are out, baby. Looking to Joe Milton. So we'll see how that part of it goes. Shout out to got a text on the text line. You know, Charles Robinson talked about an offensive lineman maybe one day wearing zero to symbolize the number of sacks they've given up. Somebody said, so does that mean Dennis Daly will wear number 25 for the number of sacks that he gave up? Dennis Daly, the jokes are going to continue to be there.
Yeah, as he goes out and just dominates for the Monty Ossenfort and the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, just beautiful stuff there on that front. The it was interesting to get Charles's thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Like the compensation, I mean, obviously, I knew when he went on McAfee that probably both sides of it didn't like it all that much. Like the Packers from the standpoint of, okay, so Aaron Rodgers is out here just airing out all of his dirty laundry on the Pat McAfee show, which I think that they've grown increasingly tired of over the last couple of years. And then from the Jets' point of view, it's like that the point that Charles brings up, like, really? You are 90% retired. What in the world does that mean about what your thought process is going to be like after next year? It's and now here we are, just gridlock, and nothing's getting done between the Packers and the Jets to this point.
Yeah. First of all, I would hope that a lot of the conversation in that room with the Jets would be like, yeah, he says a lot of crap. I mean, just, yeah, you know, I mean, just sure. Sure you were, Aaron. I mean, because I don't buy that at all.
No.
I don't buy that for 1 minute.
Look, people can downplay, and he's downplayed it, and I don't care what he says. People can downplay the sharing the stage with Tom Brady Hall of Fame stuff all they want to. I'm just telling you, to act like that's not a consideration with him, I think is ludicrous. With the way that that guy operates, it's absolutely a thing. I don't care what he says.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, like I don't may not be like top of list,
no.
But I have no doubt that's crossed his mind, and he would rather not be in the same year. No, he won't be.
Yeah.
I think. I guess.
I guess not. We'll see. Jake in Greenbrier on the text line says, I still think it's wide open after Caleb Williams and Drake May. Joe Milton could be a top 10 pick next year. This is from Jake in Greenbrier on the text line.
He honestly could.
He could.
And we laugh and joke and all that.
He also may not be the starting quarterback by week 4.
Exactly. Yeah. Although I
feel like he's probably going to.
I feel like there's going to be enough separation that
it would require
some serious malfunctioning, which, I mean, that could happen too.
Well, also look at the first part of their schedule. Like, they ought to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, the receiving core looks good. You know, we're talking about today. They're all going to be watching Darnell Wright. Like, they are up front. I do worry a little bit about the Vols next year. I mean, I think that was an underrated aspect of their season, is that they had a really good offensive line. But yeah, I mean, I don't think UVA is going to come in here and be a problem.
I don't think so for
Big Joe Milton.
I mean,
sorry, Johnny G.
John Glennon's getting out there. Yeah,
he'll be out there with his shirt and tie.
The other part that they got three good backs, which is going to be really interesting to watch too next year.
Yeah, I mean, if they find the answers up front, then their offense could be ridiculous. But and it's him too. I mean, he was good in the Orange Bowl, but it wasn't Hendon Hooker.
No,
it wasn't Hendon Hooker level of execution and consistency. You know, can he get close to that?
He throws a pretty deep ball, though. It's fun to watch.
Oh, hey, man.
Never seen anything like it.
I'll never forget
I'll never forget being in the stands at Neyland in that Missouri game, and he got in there, and he unleashed that one to Squirrel White, and I was like, that ball is sure hanging up there a long time. I mean, it's going far. Look at that thing. Then it finally came down. Just beautiful. It's mesmerizing.
It's majestic. Yeah.
It really is. 615-737-1025. It is that time of the day. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score, you will win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We will do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.